Good to be back in the house of God this afternoon. Yeah. Good to have you here, and thank God for the opportunity to come to with him.
That's right.
And be with him and in his presence, amen, as we learn on this morning. We're thankful to have those who are here, and if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we thank you in the right place, amen. We believe that Jesus bled for you, suffered for you, shed his blood that will wash your sins away. If you would do what that young man did this morning, he believed that with all of his heart. He made a confession that he believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we baptized him and commanded by our Lord, and his sins were washed away in baptism, and then the Lord added him to the true church, the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen. We've been doing the PTSD series, in the afternoons, we're only doing about a 30-minute message, so, you know, I've had, it's a very high level of interest in this study, so I want to slow it down. I've been asked to slow down, so I will. Because if it's going to help you, then you know I'm a preacher, so I have to control myself when things get good to me. But if you're not getting the message, then I'm going to make those slow this down just a little bit. Because I really believe there are a lot of people that has post-traumatic stress disorders in their lives, and that's very dangerous. We see a lot of things going on in people's lives that they have lived with for years that has stressed them out. And most time we think about PTSD, we think about people who went to war and saw traumatizing events. But as the more I think about what I'm talking about, is what we're talking about more is interpersonal relationships. Past relationships with individuals or personal things that happened to you in your life. This is what I'm talking about, is not so much of the stress of seeing an accident and getting over the accident. I'm talking about more of the mental disorder because you have been traumatized by something or someone who hurt you. And so we've been talking about that. When a person has post-traumatic stress disorder, then the answer, in my opinion, to that is post-traumatic spiritual disorder. So if you get the spiritual in order, then it's no longer a disorder. And it fixes the PTSD, the stress disorder. See, when you are spiritual, the stress can go away, but not the past. So what I've been talking about is that the pain that comes to us in life is called the travail. What man calls trauma, God calls it travail. And he doesn't just call it travail, he calls it sore travail. Now, I'm just recapping to get you to where I need you to be for a few minutes this afternoon. And so the trauma, biblical definition of that is sore travail, which is found in Ecclesiastes 1:13. Somebody said, I did part one and two because you all have heard this from me many, many times. When I go out of town on gospel meetings, people haven't heard much about the sore travail. You've heard that from Brother Brooke. It's the painful event that happened in your life that brought on pain. It's never in your future. It's always post-traumatic. It happens to children. It happens to adults. And we talked about when people are hurt, the pain is always there of the past because it has not healed. That's how I got to the part about the dark side or the cold blood. So when you're being hurt by someone, or when you have an interpersonal trauma, and it happens with, and I just give you examples of interpersonal trauma, like rape or molestation or an abusive relationship where the husband was abusive, or and sexual abuses, verbal abuses, mental abuses. Children abused, and they are traumatized from the abuse. No doubt in my mind, someone maybe in this audience today have not dealt with your trauma of your past. It might be a teenager. And what we see when people don't deal with their trauma, then we see the signs of the trauma, which is seen in cold blood. And what I mean by that is that it's the sore is actually like a literal wound, a sore that needs to be healed. And this is just still a recap. And so when someone says something or somebody triggers or they trigger the sore, then there flows blood from the sore. And that blood is cold. It's cold blood. What I mean by that is that when a person is traumatized by another person or something, in most cases with a spiritual disorder, it is another person that traumatizes you. It was either your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your lover, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, or a person that traumatized you, that brought this pain in your life. And every time you see them, it makes you sick. It makes you nauseated because when you see them, you relive the PTSD. Now, PTSD symptoms are seen through psychological or behavioral or through moods or through sleep insomnia or emotional detachments or unwanted thoughts. So emotionally, if you have to deal with the trauma, let's just use a child who and it's cyclic, because if mom and daddy always fight the life of the whole child, during their whole life, they saw mama fuss and daddy fighting. Daddy hit mama. Mama slapped back. Dad, they seen they got trauma. They was in the back room and they heard the noise and they put their ears on there. They seen all this stuff going on, so they just traumatized. And every time something happens and it reminds them that it happened, then that cycles continue. Because what I mean by that is that, let me just slow down. Man, that's what I'm trying to do, Charlie. My sister once told me that. I'm trying to slow down. Because I noticed I'm on to something that I think going to change lives. I really am. But the trauma, that's one example. The child is hurt from what he saw going all the way through his life. So every day is a new day, but the trauma of the past. So I'm waiting tonight. Is daddy going to do that tonight? Is mama going to do that? Now, I was molested by my uncle. That's a trauma that child has to live with. And every time she see him, she pulls the scalp off. A man cheat on his wife. Trauma. Right? Every time, and he may want forgiveness, he asks her forgiveness, but every time she see him, it reminds her that he done it, right? And so then from the blood, you see all this, these kind of things coming out, like insensitive treatment, stop speaking, cold-blooded comments, retaliation. I'm going to get you back. Yeah, that's cold-blooded treatment. You follow me? And so then the person, now listen to this. This is yesterday, last week, I think. But the person who was hurt, when they want forgiveness, becomes a victim. Oh, that's you got to get that one right, yeah. So the person, y'all with me? So say, for example, if I hurt my wife, and then I come to realize, hey, man, I shouldn't have done that, Sharon. I was wrong. I hurt you. And she has the cold blood and don't care. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me. Go in the other room. Pack your bags. I'm saying, baby, I'm sorry, though. I messed up. But you shouldn't have done it. But I'm sorry. Now I'm becoming the victim of her cold blood. Because now she's retaliating and she knows she inflicting pain on me. She's now becoming a woman that's going to traumatize me. That making sense? It is? Am I going slow enough? So when a father traumatized his boy because he saw how what kind of daddy he was, then the daddy goes to him and says, son, I'm sorry. I should have been a better father. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Don't speak to me. You were not my daddy. You never acted like my daddy. You're not my daddy now. Now the man who wants forgiveness become the trauma of his own son. A victim. Because he's traumatized because he wants forgiveness. He wants a second chance. He wants another opportunity to do better. Now, here's the thing. The future is never the trauma. I'm still recapping. The trauma is never in your future. The trauma is always post. Now, the problem we all got when we have post-traumatic spiritual disorder is that we have what we call memory. And here's how, when somebody want to really inflict the pain and make you the victim, they'll say, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to ever forget it. What are they saying? They saying, I'm not going to forgive you because my memory won't let me forget it. But that's a spiritual disorder. See, and this is the third post. I think it was part three, part four, which is one of the, I'm on part three, part four. And somebody asked me about the parts. I did part one and two here at one time. When if I go out of town, I got to do part one just to explain what a travail is. And so you guys have heard so much from me about Ecclesiastes, I don't have to do that here. But what God has done, he let Tommy Brooks, look at him, Tommy, look, I use my life. I know my past, you don't. I know what hurt me, you don't. I know who hurt me, you don't. I remember when he or she hurt me. Let me tell you something. I have been hurt by people who love me. Y'all gonna be all right, ain't you? I have been hurt in church relationships. I remember it. I remember when it happened. I remember exactly who it was and how they did it. I remember. And every one of you got a memory that belongs to you. And no one can go and erase it. The mistake is we want the memory to go away, but it don't. You say, well, what are you going to say? Well, God gives us the memory to remind us of the pain. It's post-traumatic. There was a article, a little boy, 9-year-old, commits suicide. What? A 9-year-old commits suicide because of a post situation. Here's what happens. This little boy comes out to tell his mother, I'm gay. I want to be a girl. His mother says, I still love you anyway, you know, even whether you're gay or not. Which, thinking she is doing the right thing for her little boy. Because if he opens up to me, he's free to open up to his peers. And they're going to give him the same love. But guess what happened? When he went to school, all excited about opening up and telling the rest of his friends, I'm gay. Mama said it's okay. And they bully him. They bullied this little boy. So the next day, he's trauma, but it's post. It's what happened to me yesterday at school. Now I'm post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a mental disorder because I have to deal with the trauma of what happened to me. Now, what he did and what many would do who have PTSD, the stress disorder, they take their life to end the memory. They say things like, I don't want to live no more. I don't want to live with it. I can't live with it. I can't think about it no more. So that what they want to do, end it. What they trying to do, Brother Brooks? End memory. Don't work. It doesn't work. So you get to that point when you're looking at, I'm looking at our lives, I'm looking at what's going on in each of you. Either you don't come out of a trauma, or you know in your past there was a trauma. It could have been your daddy, could have been your mama, could have been your boyfriend, could have been your girlfriend, could have been your lover, could have been your uncle, auntie. It could have been a little girl in here who her daddy done molested, he done touched her in the wrong way. She could be sitting in this audience here. It may be a single mother who been dogged out by many men, and all of them traumatized you, and here you are sitting here, and you know I'm talking about you because you haven't dealt with your trauma. And right now, as I speak, you're hurting. Somebody was in a bad marriage where that man was just, he was and still is your pain. He's your thorn. And you have accepted. I accept it like it is. No, you haven't dealt with your trauma. You haven't dealt with your trauma. That's what I'm trying to get. It can be in marital unfavor, marital neglect, marital abuse, verbal, mental, sexual, children abused, molested, neglected, church relationship. I'm talking about neglected children who, you know, it's one thing to be a runaway. It's another thing to be a throwaway. Where mama throw them away. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. When mothers who have aborted their own children have to live with the trauma of their decision. And it's stressful. Church relationship, family relationship, friendship, business relationships. All of these things, it's by interpersonal relationships. That's what I'm saying. I'm honing in on it. Really, all our pain comes from other people or other things. A wreck is post-traumatic stress disorder, not because somebody hurt me, but because somebody saw it. That's not what I'm dealing with. So when we look at where we're headed now, you have to diagnose this thing. You have to say, am I one who has a spiritual disorder? And you got to look at what you are doing to correct it. And so the Bible teaches us now in 1 Corinthians chapter, let's go over there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in verse 1. Look at Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. This is actually this afternoon. This is what I want to get to this afternoon with the recap is this piece. And our brethren could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now, he said what?
I have fed you with milk.
Fed you with milk.
And not with meat.
Not with meat.
For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able.
Now, for ye are yet
carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
See now, I could not talk to you all as spiritual men and women. I had, because you are yet carnal. Now, carnal person, you got three people. You got the spiritual man is led by the Spirit of God. Then you have the carnal-minded person. This person could be baptized, but they are controlled by their flesh or their own human nature. Matter of fact, their behavior is non-spiritual. Now, here's if you can't speak to the person who hurt you, you have not spoke to them. You can't stand to be in the same house. You would prefer to be in another room. You don't like them. You have a spiritual disorder. Because you are carnal. Now, you can't help someone when you don't get yourself together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible said, brother, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, what?
Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness.
Consider what?
Thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
If Brother Stroud and I both got a spiritual disorder, we can't help each other spiritually. So you got a husband and wife, and both of them have spiritual disorders, that house is going to be a wreck. That home is never going to be a happy home because both of them are carnal. They just fuss back. Who going to win? You go to your room, I go to my room. You pay your bill, I pay my bill. We look like we okay when we go to the church building, but when we go home, both of us got spiritual disorders. And I'm going to show you symptoms and signs of it next week, the behavior of it, more detail. But then the danger here is that you cannot, number one, you're not going to help yourself. Number two, you can't get to heaven that way. That making sense? Is it making sense? Okay, so here's what I'm saying today. Until you look in the mirror and see, sister, you are the problem in that house. Until that brother look and say, man, I am the man in the mirror. Until that child see that I am the problem in the home. You know how many homes are tore up by their teenagers? Spiritual disorders. You say, well, brother, how do I know? There was a man in the Bible who lay with another man's wife, got her pregnant, murdered her husband. His son started trying to kill him, and his other son raped his daughter. But this man had to be pointed out. In my closing tonight, this afternoon. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, this is all I want to get today out of this lesson is this. I want every one of us to ask the question, is it me? Is it me? In 2 Samuel 12:1, the Bible says there, the Lord, 2 Samuel 12:1, and I'm about to close.
And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children.
So here's the scene. David is a man named David, and Nathan is talking to David about a person who wronged somebody. He said, this man, there was two men, one was rich and one was poor. And he's telling David this story. One had a little ewe lamb. And the man bought it, nourished it, grew it up together with him, with his children, did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom.
And was unto him as a daughter.
And then there come this traveler.
Unto a rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against
the man. Now, David done heard the story. And David says, man, he's upset. What kind of man would do something like this?
As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this.
David said, as king, I'll tell you what, find him and he going to die. He deserved to die. In verse 6.
And he shall restore the lamb.
And he going to give the man everything four times back.
Because he did this thing.
He shouldn't have done that to him.
Because he had no
pity. He didn't have no pity on that man.
And Nathan said
and
to David.
And Nathan says to David.
Thou art the man.
Are you? David, Nathan says to David, you are the man. In other words, look at you, because you is the one who traumatized them. You won. You did it. You did it. The man that left his child and did not take care of his child, that did not love his child, that beat his child, that physically abused his child, that left his child behind, and that child is scarred for life. You, brother. You. The man. You the woman that hurt him. You the one did it. You the woman. You the child that's killing your mama. You the one. You gonna do it. Because you're trying to get her back. Their children have to get their own mama. You know, there are some people that got old in age and they still have nothing to do with their mother in her old age. They're sticking in a nursing home to retaliate. Cold-blooded people. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? The lesson today is to ask the question, are you the man? Are you the one that did it? You know, then you lie and you lie and you lie. When people wrong folk and they know they hurt them, they'll lie and lie and lie. At some point, you got to look in the mirror and you got to call yourself nothing but a liar. You're a liar. You traumatize them. You did it. And until you admit it, you will always have a spiritual disorder. What's the message today, y'all? What you got to do? Look in the mirror. See, was it you? And who are the victims of your cold blood? Was it you? My last point on this is this. When we look at the spiritual disorder, God has an answer to our past. He has an answer. You know what God's answer to our post, y'all? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Can amazing. Can you forgive the one who hurt you the most? Have you forgiven the one who hurt you the most? What you say? This is how they say you got to come clean. You got to go back to him. You got to admit it. You got to ask for forgiveness. That's when you have spiritual order. There are homes here that could be better if both people become spiritual. Because both of them will forgive each other of their post and they'll have a happy life going forward. It's just that simple. But is it simple? Is it that simple for a child to just forgive his daddy or his mother? A child who, no, my daddy wasn't there. I saw my mama struggling by herself, taking care of me. Man, you're no good a man, brother. And brother, are you trying to tell me it's just as simple as me forgiving him? Yeah. Turn on your recorder. Turn it on. It's God made it just as simple. You forgive it. and your stress go away. Don't forgive it. You have a stress disorder because you have spiritual disorder. Don't tell me I ain't onto something because I know I am. And you know what? I would tag 90% of us in this category. That some of us are dealing with stress because we're not spiritual. You say, well, what is the answer? What is the answer? We'll come back next week. And then I'll tell you more about what to do about this. But you got to first, the only thing I want you leaving with today is I want all of us leaving. And I'm saying to me, myself, I have to look in the mirror myself. You have to look in the mirror for yourself. And if you can't see yourself, you ain't going to do nothing about yourself. But you know, God put people in your life for a reason. Y'all know that, don't you? Sometimes people help you see yourself. But you gotta, you know what, some of the things about post-traumatic stress is they have flight and fight response. But that means that I'm running from it. I'm running from the truth. I'm running from who I am. I'm running from what I should be. I'm running away from it. That's why these marriages can't reconnect, because we're running. We got this stress disorder, got the flight and response. Like that's talking about fight or flight means like if a person has been in a war and they gunshot, when they hear a gun, they do that. They start every time. So now every time, because that brother hurt you before, every time you look at him, you think he's going to hurt you again the same way. Because you got the flight or flight. Fight or flight. I'm going to go at you, I'm going to run from you. One of the two. Good lesson? Not a good lesson. Good lesson? Amen. Do we need this? Amen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So let's look at all the signs of spiritual disorders next week. So how many of you can look in the mirror today and tell me if you are spiritual or if you're not spiritual? David couldn't do it, but if you drop down to verse 13, here was the end result of what happened with David. God says, okay, it's going to curse your house. I'm going to take your baby. I'm going to some curse. Remember this morning we talked about the choice. You can choose God or you can choose the devil. But if you choose the devil, you choose curse. And when David didn't want to do what God said, okay, I'll fix you. He said, I'm going to take the baby you and Bathsheba made. I'm going to take the baby, and the baby going to die. So that you read on down there, verse 13, he says this.
David said unto Nathan.
And David comes to Nathan.
I have sinned against the Lord.
And he says this. Notice what he did. What did God want him to do? He said, I have sinned against the Lord. That's what he said. And then what happened?
And Nathan said unto David. The Lord also had put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die.
All God wanted him to do was make a confession. You know what most people who've been hurt want you to do? Huh? You know what they're really waiting on? You know what your children really waiting on for you? To go to them and say, I wasn't the dad I should have been, and I'm sorry. And I've sinned. That's what God is saying. You come to me, and you say you sinned, and I'll forgive you. Did God make it hard? No, he didn't. He made it very simple for David. He said, you can take all these curses, or you can get it right. And David was a man after God's own heart. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But when them pains came, I got my act together. Is that what he said? Yeah, so David made the confession. So that's what we do. You got to look in the mirror, brother, sister, children, and look at your life. And if you the man, you got to say, thou art the man. And then what you got to do?
Repent.
Confess. And God said, I'll flow all your blessings and come back to you. Ain't that good? That's real good. I like my own preaching sometimes. So it's just real good to me. Real, real good. Well, here you are tonight. Maybe it's tonight. You know, when I talked about a lot about my past, and it's easier to talk about yourself and talk about other people. However, the trauma of losing my brother wasn't an interpersonal trauma. It was a life trauma. Now, I see the difference now. It was about life. You know, you're dealing with the pain of loss of a loved one. That doesn't cause me to have cold blood necessarily, but it does cause me a pain that God has allowed to come into my life. And that pain brought me to the Lord. That pain is what brings us, God allows to bring us to him. And when a person feels the pain of losing a loved one or going through something, and they know they need God, and then they respond, that was the best thing that ever happened to them. For all things work together for what? To good to them to love God. Say a child who was just her mother just was wronged her, and now she's feeling it, and she really wants forgiveness. She come to the Lord because of that or because of this conversation we're having tonight. That was the best thing that happened to that child because that brought that child to the Lord. That's crazy, isn't it? That something painful can be good for you. That's the truth. That's how God uses pain. Travail, he exercises it for you to make a decision that you want the Lord. If you're here tonight and you need the Lord in your life, you hear that God loved you, gave his son for you, his son hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for you. You believe that with all of your heart, that he suffered. He didn't just die. God allowed him to suffer for you. You can believe that. Faith coming by hearing him by the word of God. The word of God tells us he suffered. Yeah. You believe he suffered. Repent right where you are tonight. Say, you know what? Man, if he gone through all that for me, surely I can change my life for him. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Be baptized tonight. Tonight. Why? You got to live that life and trauma is coming. Trauma is coming. How do you deal with trauma, Brother Brooke? You deal with it with God. You don't deal with trauma without God. I'm talking to you. If you're going through your mom and dad and somebody done traumatized you, you come to God, deal with the trauma with God. You'll be able to live it, and you'll break the cycle. If you don't, you're going to grow up and be just like your mama or just like your daddy, and you're going to traumatize your children. You got to break the cycle. That was last week. And that's what's going on in a lot of our lives. We haven't broke the cycle of what we saw in our own mom and daddies. Amen, somebody. Break the cycle. How you break it, Brother Brooks? Become spiritual. Get your spiritual life in order. And you break the cycle. Or you're going to traumatize them kids and they're going to look just like y'all. Just like you. Don't look just like you, talk like you, act like you, and do just like you. You say, brother, so how do I start? You start by getting baptized for the remission of your sins. Bring God into your life and allow him to help you. After that, if you're here and you're a Christian, you just need prayer, man. That's a good thing about being a Christian. We can ask God to help us through some stuff, can't we? Amen. The prayers of the righteous man avail it much. And then the prayers certainly avail it much. And the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to the righteous people praying for their people. You know, so would y'all pray for me? Amen. Can I ask y'all to pray for me? Pray for me. And then so let's pray for each other. Amen. So if you need to come tonight, we got a song of encouragement. We want you to come. Come to be baptized. Come for prayer. Come to make a confession as together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.